Then as I grew older, I realized that it's not really sustainable for me to be in a relationship with those type of guys. You're instilling to the people that these are just the people who are attractive. Hey there, Zesties. You're listening to The Gleeful Talk Show, where we share zesty stories to cultivate the happiness and hero within and out. In this show, we share about personal experiences, pop culture, and societal impacts. So if these are the topics that you're interested in, then please do keep on listening and subscribe to the show. So let's dive right in, guys. What is the episode about? I don't know about you, but have you watched the show Singles Inferno? It's a Korean dating show on Netflix, and it has two seasons, and I recently finished the second season, and I've also watched the first season. So guys, if you haven't watched the whole show and you're planning to actually watch the show, then there's gonna be spoilers ahead, so please be warned. And if you don't want to watch the show, just stick around for the chat, because I'll be relating the cast or the characters to real life relationships and real life settings. So I'm also gonna talk about my thoughts about the dating show in general and the Korean style of dating show. So I'm not Korean, right? You know that, right? But I'm very into K-drama and all these kinds of jazz, but not extremely, but I'm into, and I have a bit of an idea about the Korean dating scene and the Korean culture in general. So a bit of an idea. So please stick around and let's get into it. So what is Singles Inferno about? So it's about these gorgeously beautiful and just out of these world single people stuck in a deserted island, which is called Inferno. And the only way to go out of Inferno is to go to paradise whenever they get matched with each other. So the mechanics is basically you spend like 9 days in that deserted island, which is actually not really super deserted. It's actually a kind of like a glamping kind of thing. But the food is not as good as hotel type of food. You have to cook your own food. You have to fetch your own water. And because this is a dating show, you would chat with the other characters or other contestants, but you cannot reveal your age and profession. They have that kind of rule. In Western dating shows, it's not really like that, right? Because you can talk about anything. But in this Korean style of dating show, you don't reveal your age and occupation. And I think it's because in Korea, the age gap could affect your likability or attractiveness. And that goes the same as your status in life as well. That is quite an interesting thing, but that's what's happening in reality right there, right now. And I think not only in South Korea, maybe in some other countries or even for other people as well, it might affect the attractiveness or likability, right? So the only way to get out of Inferno is to be able to be matched with somebody as well. So let's say on the second night, they will say that, oh, I will choose this person to go to paradise to. So if that person chose you as well, then you both go to paradise for a night. Paradise is actually just a luxurious hotel. So it's called Paradise Hotel or something. In the paradise, you can talk about your age, reveal anything that you'd like. So that's the gist of the show. And then in the end of the show, then you choose who you're going to date outside the show, which is usually unlikely that you really end up with that person anyway. So who are the cast on the show? So initially, they casted 8 singles. So 4 girls, 4 guys. And for those who don't want to watch the show, I'm going to describe them to you right now as we go along so that you have an idea on who these people are on the show and how they relate to real life or how they represent someone you know in real life. For Singles Inferno, from what I read, actually, there has been a very rigorous process of selection of these contestants because you know how people can easily Google, right? So they don't want that type of bad reputation that will taint the show. And because of the rigorous character selection, I do feel that the contestants are really too good. I mean, like, they are not a representative of the general public, but I guess that's why they're on TV, right? Okay, so I will talk about the girls first and then the guys. So the first girl, she's named Sulky, and I'm gonna tag her for, you know, it's gonna be difficult to remember the names actually, and I'm not saying them correctly. So I'm gonna give her a nickname so that you guys will be able to differentiate who I'm talking about. So Sulky, she's actually the popular girl. She is the typical Korean beauty, the very demure, shy, feminine, girl next door type of vibe. And I think after I watched the whole show and I was looking at like some YouTube videos and people were pointing out that she won first in a beauty pageant. So that would really indicate that that's why she's also very popular on the show, right? Because she has the typical Korean beauty. And despite being demure, I feel that she is actually a master of subtle flirting. And I'm not saying this is good or bad, which is just to me very interesting because she has that shy demeanor. And we have a saying in the Philippines that hindi makabasag plato, which is loosely translated as cannot break a plate, which means too good to be able to break a plate. So that's how she depicts herself on the show. So another contestant is named So-E. She's the actress. So as I mentioned earlier, the guys wouldn't know or the girls don't know each other's profession, don't know each other's family background and occupation. But I'm just revealing to you guys so that you would have an idea who I'm talking about. So So-E is the actress. So she is kind of the type of girl who gets friend-zoned just as a representation, right? This is not labeling her or anything. But just if you think about these types of people, she represents those people who could be more likely friend-zoned type of person. But with a twist, which I will talk about later on. So to me, if I'm a guy, she is a night type of girl. But I ended up rooting for her in the end, actually. And I was really, really, really rooting up for her because of the reasons I will share later on. And she has that cutesy type of vibe and like aegyo, which is like a Korean term for acting cute. Another girl I'm going to talk about is Sejong. I'm going to dub her the hot girl. So the hot girl in your life. She's actually not the typical Korean beauty. There was actually a similar type of person like her in season one. And I just feel that Sejong didn't really get enough screen time at all, which is so weird. And I feel like there should be equal amount of screen time for them. But I don't know what happens in filming time, whether she didn't really had anything interesting going on. And I did mention earlier that she wasn't the typical Korean beauty because she's tanned. I think mainly that's it. She's tanned. And also maybe the shape of her face as well isn't really the one that's Korean beauty standard leaning, because I know that, and everyone knows about it, that Korea really likes these small V-shaped faces, and a lot of the people there actually undergo surgery because of that type of standard. Not that I'm condemning any plastic surgery, but you know, just stating the fact that they really like those small faces and they tend to go because of the pressure of the society that you need to be beautiful, you need to be in this certain kind of standard. That's why a lot of people undergo surgery because they are not happy of how they look like because of society dictating it on them as well. So anyway, she hasn't been to Paradise at all, which is so annoying that no one picked her. And the popular girl, which I can understand that why she's popular, but she's been there for four nights or how many nights it was. And she hasn't been there and she's pretty as well, and the hot type of girl. And then the fourth girl I'm going to talk about is named So-eun. Let's dub her the wise girl. For those who haven't watched the show, sorry for the spoiler. She vibed with a guy there. But I felt that because they vibe too much, it looks like they're already a couple when they were there. Like, not that they are or they were, but there wasn't any excitement anymore as a viewer. Then the next girl I'm going to talk about is named Nadine. So let's call her the edgy girl. So she has that edgy type of character, smart, sporty, and eventually you will know that she's actually a Harvard student. And she has also been accepted to Princeton and Yale as well, but she chose Harvard and studying neuroscience. And she wants to be a plastic surgeon someday. These girls are really, really well casted by the show. And she also lives in the US or lived in the US and then just goes to Korea for vacation. And of course, she is really good in English. Then let's talk about the guys. The first guy I'm going to talk about is named Jongwoo. So let's call him the barista because his profession is a barista. And to me, this guy was the most handsome initially of all. And he looks like a K-pop idol or something like that. And you're just too pretty type of guy, you know? And you would eventually see that sometimes the prettiness or the handsomeness of a person could only take you to a certain point, right? Then the next guy that I'm going to talk about is called Young Jae. So he's the stockbroker. So he is actually one of the popular guys until there's one guy that came in the show. But in the first few episodes, he was quite the popular one because he was caring to the girls and he gives off that smart, mysterious type of vibes. And I think he fits into the typical Korean beauty standard of a guy. Maybe, I don't know. The third guy that I'm going to talk about is named Hanbin. He is the chef. So that's why in the show, you will see that he's really good in the kitchen. But you know, you will only know this when he goes to the paradise. So he's really a bubbly character. To me, he's also one of the more handsome guys there and well-groomed as well. And he could be an actor, actually. And because it's a dating show, right? And it's a small amount of time, girls tend to go for the guys that are the mysterious, edgy type of characters and not really the bubbly ones, I feel, especially in the Asian type of realm, right? And I feel like Hanbin is the guy that you will like when you hang out more with him. The fifth guy that I'm going to talk about is named Dongwoo. So he is a doctor and he is a plastic surgeon. So it's actually, I feel like Korea is really spawning with a lot of plastic surgeons because of the industry and the culture there, which is good because if you want to have plastic surgery, let's just go to South Korea because there are a lot of good doctors there, right? So anyway, this guy at first, he was quite interesting. He's a bit tanned than others and he has also a very nice body that everyone there has really beautiful bodies, like beautiful in a way that's like physically fit, abs and all. So he was very interesting until something happened, which I'm going to talk about later on. The next guy I'm going to talk about is named Jin Young. So this guy came in a bit later on the show. So normally when producers push a new person, that person I feel should be either interesting or physically attractive. So this guy has both. So let's call him the military guy because he has been in the military and he is quite mysterious, but where girls really don't know what he's thinking. And I guess that adds to his charm, right? I like this guy because he's quite honest with his feelings and quite direct in a way, which is not tactless type of direct, but just really says it plainly, you know? So I really like this guy. And the next person who came in quite late is named Minsu. So she's the online fashion entrepreneur. And I just feel that her character on the show was a little bit bland. And she just focused on one guy, which is like, oh, meh. Then the last character who came in later after the two people, Jin Young and Minsu, is named Sejun. So he is a tailor. So let's call him the tailor. And I feel like this guy is the most attractive of them all even in a Korean type of beauty standard and even internationally. So I feel like he is not entirely Korean. He has that exotic vibe of him, maybe like a mix of Middle Eastern or something. So he dresses up very well because he's a tailor, right? So he came in a suit to a deserted island. Like, who comes in a suit to a deserted island unless you're a tailor, I guess. And he was actually working at the same bespoke tailoring company owned by last season's contestant as well. So it's like kind of connected, and I feel like it's just within the circle of, you know, who. But yeah, he's a very attractive person. And to me, and even the rest of the world and the internet, I just feel that he was just put on the show by the producers to do something. Okay. So I'll talk about that later on. So for those who haven't really watched the show and wanted to watch, there will be spoilers ahead. All right. So you guys know about the nicknames of the characters. So I'm going to talk more now with some spoilers on the first half of the episode. The major thing that I noticed, or the major thing that happened, was that So-ee, the actress, the cutie girl, confessed to Young-jae, the stockbroker, that she likes him. All right. So there are many things here. There are many implications here. So first of all, I wanted to comment that it isn't really common. I think it's not that common in some other cultures that the girl confesses that she likes them. But I think in Korea and in Japan, from what I know from seeing the shows, right, it's quite okay and it's quite common and it's not frowned upon. And I feel that it was so brave for So-ee to do that, to confess her love with the rest of the world watching her, right? And she confessed her, not love, but she confessed her feelings to him in a good way, you know, not too pushy or not too much. But okay, there's a caveat there. It's just too good. She's too good to him. Like, at the point that she was the one making effort for the guy to not be comfortable. And it's just like so painful to watch. There was a scene when she was talking to the guy that, oh, I like you, blah blah blah, and she was the one really setting the mood, and the guy was just there feeling sorry for himself and wasn't really able to express his feelings because she was the one taking charge of the conversation. But I guess that's just my preference, that she should have maybe told the guy your feelings and then give him the chance as well to talk during that conversation, because I just felt that she was just driving the conversation and the guy's just, yeah, yeah, sorry, blah, blah, blah. So that's just how I feel. And I was like, oh, this is so painful to watch. But in a way, I'm so proud of her that she is really, really brave, despite her being very young. Like, she was like 9 years younger than the guy in reality. 9 or 10 years younger than the guy in reality. So kudos to her who confessed her feelings. And this is the thing, maybe fourth episode, but the rest of the episodes until Sejun the tailor came in, she was really down. So that's why I feel that it's either the producers just put him in there to comfort So-ee, because she was having a very terrible time after that, you know, like, you can imagine. Because the problem is, she focused on one person and it's a dating show, right? So, but I guess these are your own preferences. But my point is, just because it's a dating show, you better just not set your eyes on one person, because it is a dating show, right? It's not like reality or something, while it's a reality TV. So Sejun came in the tailor and he has his eyes only on So-ee. I'm not saying that she's not attractive. She is attractive, like everyone there is. But even the other people as well, they were very surprised that the tailor, Sejun, chose her to go to paradise, because it's just not lining up. But anyway, so yeah, that was one of the big moments on the show, I feel. And then, of course, Jin Young, the military guy, came in steering the pot. So he is a very interesting character, and you always want a late show character to be this type of interesting, because otherwise there's no point of them being there late, right? And there were a lot of moments. This guy was very popular with the girls. He is the equivalent of the Sulki, the popular, the Miss Korea girl. I think 3 or 4 girls actually that initially liked him. And although he was saying that he was open to everyone, it was quite evident to the viewers that he only had eyes for Sulki. And it's so cute how like the scenes of them together, you can really see Sulki very smitten to him. And he as well, even though he doesn't show that much emotion, which is also adding to his charm, you can see that he does like Sulki, because there has been a lot of instances wherein he really went to Sulki to have a one-on-one talk, while only the girls go to him to have a one-on-one talk. But then when he have moments with Sulki, he tries to still keep her on her toes, which is so cute to watch on the show. And then another moment which is quite annoying to watch is Min-Soo, the fashion entrepreneur, keeps choosing Jin-Young, the military guy, to paradise twice, 2 nights in a row, which is not annoying, but I'll lay it out for you guys. So she went with the military guy on the first night when she just came in on the show, because she was one of the people who came in late. So she had the opportunity to go to choose someone to go to paradise without any type of game to win or any type of matchmaking to be done. So that was one of the perks. And then she went with Jin-Young, the military guy, to paradise, the luxurious hotel. And then in there, when you look at them, the guy was very comfortable with her. But in a sense, he has been giving hints that there are 3 types of people that he would like to go with: the one he's interested in, the one that flutters his heart, and the one he's comfortable with. Then he would always go for the one that flutters his heart. But it was quite evident in the scenes that they are together that he was just the one that he is comfortable with. But she didn't take that hint, actually. And then on the second night or the next episode where they had a game and then she won, and then she still picked him, despite him giving her all of the hints that she doesn't need to choose him next time, because after they arrived from paradise, they had a talk within the island again, and then because she wanted to talk to him, and then the guy was saying to her that you came in late, you should talk with other guys, and she didn't get the hint. And then in paradise on the second night with the military guy, she was actually quite honest with her, and he basically said that he's not into her, but like not verbatimly, right? But basically he said that he's not into her, and then it ruined her night. I mean, that was the hint, girl. But anyway, that's so bad. She's actually very pretty, but I think the takeaway for that one is that just maybe take the hint, right? While you have that dignity, you know? So I think, yeah, that was one really a facepalm moment while I was watching the show. And then another moment I wanted to talk about is, okay, the Sejun, which is the tailor guy, picking So-E, the actress. So this is, again, which I mentioned earlier, is like, I don't know if he was just directed by the producers, but there was a time when they were in the helicopter from Inferno to go to paradise. So-E was very scared of the sound and he comforted her, and the military guy saw them. His facial reaction was so funny. It's like, oh, are they like a couple already or something like that? It was funny and cute at the same time. And again, I'm still doubting whether he really picked her because he liked her, or maybe there was something behind the choosing. And of course, I wanted to comment on Hanbin, who is just being a very good sport. There was a girl that he was eyeing on, but of course, he knows already that she has her eyes on someone else, and he took the hint, you know, which is so good of him. Just take the hint while you have the dignity for it. Anyway, there's another scene that was quite brutal to watch, actually, the sports game. It was kind of like a wrestling game for the guys. There was also a girl version. That's why Min-Soo, the fashion entrepreneur, was also able to win. But the guy version, it was so brutal, like I cannot watch it. And I was just thinking, why do they have to do this thing? Because the guys have to wrestle together in a pile of muddy, watery pool of mud. And the top three guys who wins on that match will have the chance to choose the girl to bring to paradise without even them choosing them. So it's not a matchmaking thing, which I initially shared earlier, that you can go to the paradise only when you get matched. So if you choose a girl and the girl chose you as well separately, then you can go together. But this time, if it's a game that you want, then you can choose someone to go to paradise with. So it was so brutal because, as I mentioned earlier, everyone just wanted to win and get Sulki, the popular Miss Korea girl. And then Jongwoo, the barista guy, he wanted to bring Sulki so badly to paradise because he was kind of like promising her that he will bring her there. And here's the thing, because Sulki, for us viewers, it was very, very clear that she likes the military guy, which is Jin Young. But she still kept her options open to Jongwoo, because Jongwoo was very expressive of his feelings to her. And there was a moment that she was crying and then said that, oh, she wanted to pick Jongwoo, which for me, as a viewer, I felt that she was crying because Jin Young went with Minsu, the fashion entrepreneur girl. It's just weird. These things happen in real life, actually. Like the guy being friend zoned. And anyway, I digress. Back to the sports game. It was so brutal. And actually, they had a similar game last season as well, which I felt like the producers should change the mechanics, or even at least change the game, or at least change the Paradise Hotel as well. Because if there will be season three, like, I know what's gonna happen. And then, of course, Jongwoo, the barista's persistence to Sulki, the popular Miss Korean girl. It was, again, the same type of format from last season. Last season, there was a girl, I forgot her name, but there was a girl who was also, of course, everyone's pretty there, but she was another typical type of the standard Korean beauty girl. And there was a guy who was very persistent towards her, and she didn't like him at first, and eventually she chose him. So again, this is a similar format, similar results, I'd say. I know there is maybe learnings to get from the show, but I mean, it's just every season it's like that. I mean, it's a bit too much and too predictable. And also, the girl from last season who was being persisted upon was also in the same beauty contest where Sulki was. So Sulki was the first to win, and she got third place or something. So again, the similar set of people. I guess maybe because Korea is a very homogenous society, so that's why us producers, you also always cater to the general public's view, right? On what beauty is, everything, the culture and everything. So maybe that's why. There's still a lot more going on the show, and I think it's quite interesting to watch because it's a bit different from the Western type of dating shows. It's more subtle, it's more lovey-dovey, and lesser drama, actually. Less is more then. So now my key takeaways for the show and in real life. First, and this is not in order, guys. First is that popular girls tend to like the badass guys. So maybe not the bad guys, but the vibe, the tough guys. And I'm actually seeing this in real life too. I know some people who prefers the bad guy, I'd say, like the badass guy. So back then when I was younger, I actually also tend to gravitate towards those badass type of vibes because they seem to be cool, you know, the cool guys. But then as I grew older, I realized that it's not really sustainable for me to be in a relationship with those type of guys because I'm not that type of person who can be in the same wavelength with them or the same hobbies as them. So it's not a sustainable relationship. But yeah, that was one of my key takeaways. Another one is that persistence is key. Well, this is again a controversial thing. I want to talk about this in depth on another episode, but when I say persistence is key, so you know, the girls always choose the guy who is more persistent towards them or gives out more effort, right? Because that's more stable, you know, like as a girl, you don't want to be the one chasing the guy all the time. Other girls want the other way around. But the takeaway from the show, this season one and season two, is that the guy who is so persistent gets the girl. So yeah, it's a similar pattern again. So I don't know whether the producers just really want to instill this type of learning to everyone that persistence is key. But if you watch the show, Sulki, the popular girl, was so much into Jin Young, the military guy. And she even said on one of her interviews during the break time that she always goes for the guy who she likes, not the guy who likes her. And again, in the end, like, there was an interview from her as well that, oh, the Jongwoo was the one who was able to disrupt or dispel her rule, which is, you know, it's just like 9 days. But anyway, and then of course, another takeaway is it's a dating show and the producers will just consider what is good in the eyes of the public. So they want to portray the scenes that would be good for the public. And this could go the other way around as well. Like, you're instilling to the people that these are just the people who are attractive. But then if you don't put these types of people, then no one will get interested. I think it's just getting the balance of it. I think diversity is key to any dating show, I feel. But with these types of dating show, I think because it's a South Korean dating show, it's a bit more homogenous. I know that they try to make it diverse, you know, there is a tan girl there, but in the end she wasn't picked. So anyway, another takeaway is there will always be someone who will appreciate you. So this is talking to So-E and Sejun. She liked the other guy, but then there was a guy that liked her back. So there was a knight in shining armor, basically. But then again, we don't know if it's rigged. And then another one, which is something that you will realize in the end. So for me, it's like the key attractiveness factor for the guys is their charm or their charisma. While for the girls, the key attractiveness is actually the looks and zesties. This is only for the dating show, the one that I'm seeing right now. Not as a general thing in life, but on the dating show, I feel that the attractiveness factor for guys is their charm. For the girls, it's actually the looks, which is a bit disappointing, but that's life. But then when you go out of that deserted island of that dating show, the playing field will be more leveled, actually. You know, people might get interested in you because of how you look, but you keep their interest by your charm. That's how I would see it. And I'm hoping that season 3, if there's any, would be different because now it's a little more predictable and less diverse, I'd say. So I'm hoping that the producers will maybe change the location, change the mechanics, put in more diversity on the show, especially that it's shown on Netflix in an international scene. By putting in more diversity on the show, it will help educate the public about diversity and not just being, you know, homogenous. I know the culture is like that, but there is power in diversity, I feel. Yeah, those are my thoughts about the show and the connectivity in real life. And I hope that you enjoyed this episode. And if you'd like these types of commentary, please do let me know on my Instagram, that's at gleefultalkshow, or send your thoughts and feedback to gleefultalkshow@gmail.com. If you'd like to comment more about the show or you'd like to just say hi, please send a voice memo that's under a minute to gleefultalkshow@gmail.com. I'll see you next week.